Good morning. I guess that you've surmised by now that it's Men's Day. All these fine-looking gentlemen up here. Yeah. It's good to have all of y'all this morning. I hope that you will be blessed by our time together. A couple of times I've spoke and I've been told, well, you know, I couldn't hear you. Right, Ms. Martin? Is that what you told me? You couldn't hear me, right? Oh, me. But anyway, it's good to have you home. All right. Message this morning is about second chances. How many of y'all in the course of your life have needed a second chance? Now, my hand will go up first. Yeah. How many of you need a third chance? Yeah. Well, you know, God is a God of second chances. And I want to use Jonah, as the example. I'm doing something this morning I've never done before when I spoke. I don't have any notes. So, and I'm not going to preach to you this morning. I just want to talk to you. Because I think you get more accomplished by talking than you do by preaching. And we, as a congregation, as a community, and as a nation, we really need to take note of what's happening not only in our county, but in our state and in our nation. Jonah is a perfect example, I think, of the American. And I want to start by reading the scripture, Jonah 3, and I'd like for you to take your Bibles out, turn to Jonah. If you go towards the back of the Old Testament, Micah, Zephaniah, some of those, you'll find him back there. Just a few short chapters. You'll find him in the minor prophets. The only thing that's different about the minor prophets and the major prophets is the length of the book. The minor prophets are short. The major prophets, they have a long book. The message is the same. It's about repentance. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. So if it came to him the second time, he must have had it before, right? Saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days journey. Let me give you a little history. Some of you probably know this. Some of you probably don't. There was a guy by the name of Nimrod. He was a son of Cush. And Cush was a son of Ham, who was one of the three sons of Noah. So Nimrod was a great grandson of Noah. Nimrod was a great warrior. He was also a troublemaker. But I'm giving you this so that you know where he came from. He established four cities in Mesopotamia, where probably modern-day Iraq is, whatever. He had four cities. One of the cities that he took or that he founded was Assyria. And if you go into 2 Kings and look in verse 10, you will find that another guy they give credit to that. But they, those four cities, and those four cities were 60 miles apart. They made a triangle. And that's the reason when you see this, he talks about a day's journey. You walk 20 miles, and it took you 3 days to get across the area. But you know that the Assyrians were always a pain in Israel's side, okay? But these people, the Assyrians, were founded by a great-grandson of Ham, who was a son of Noah. And if you do the history, you can find out where the different people of the world come from by those three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, okay? But that's a different story. So you know a little bit about Assyria and where it came from. So I want you to go to chapter 1 of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. See, Jonah was in the presence of the Lord. The Bible states that. God told him to do one thing, but he decided that he was going to do something else. He decided he wasn't going to Nineveh, that he was going to Tarshish, which was some 2,400 miles in the opposite direction. Sound familiar? The Christian church is full of Jonahs. God tells us to do one thing, and we decide on our own that we're going to do something else. So you take Jonah, he's moved from the presence of God, and he's gone off on his own because that he was bigger than God. I'm not saying he wasn't a Christian. He's a Christian. He was just a Christian that wanted to do his own thing. And the church is full of Christians that want to do their own thing. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind, and the ship became rocky. Jonah, you know, it didn't bother him. He went on down in the hole and went to sleep. But that sin that Jonah was, he was running. And you run from the Lord at times, and it may cost your brother something. Jonah's action cost the sailors their cargo. They threw it overboard. Still, the ship didn't get calm. Why? The reason is because Jonah wasn't where he was supposed to be. And a lot of us in life, as far as the Christian walk is concerned, we are not where we're supposed to be. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. How many baptisms have we had in this church in the last 3 years? It's not the pastor's job. It's our job to go out and visit and bring people into the church. God says, "Go ye therefore into all the world, make disciples, teaching them and baptizing them and instructing them and discipling them." That's our job. It went on and they told Jonah, he said, "Who are you? Where did you come from? What are you doing?" He says, "I am a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the earth." It's the same as us saying, "I am a Christian. And I fear the Lord God in the earth." In other words, what they're doing is, Jonah is saying words, but he has no action. The people hear what he's saying, but they don't see the results. And that's the way it is as far as the Christian life is concerned. Can't walk to walk, don't talk to talk. And God wants us to walk the walk and talk the talk. And Jonah asked to be thrown into the sea, but they were afraid because he had told them, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. It's better that I die." You know, and when you're running from God and you're not doing what God wants you to do, you have no purpose in life. And Jonah really didn't have any purpose at this time. Because God had told him to do one thing, he is headed in the opposite direction. So he goes on, he says, "Nevertheless, the men rowed to return to land." So the men, what did they do? They took it within themselves. They took the old human approach. "We're going to try to get you back to where you need to be." But that doesn't work. Because man can never get the person that God is after back to what he wants to be. You can tell him how to get there, but you can never get him there. And that's the reason that God does not have any grandchildren. None. He only has sons and daughters, kings and queens. You are important as far as the Son of God is concerned. You are somebody. I am somebody. And once you understand that God loves you and that you are somebody in his eyes, you've got part of the battle halfway won. So they went in, and what did they do? They took Jonah and they threw him overboard. But God wasn't through with him. So what did he do? He sent a great fish, and that fish swallowed him up. Now, can you imagine Jonah being in the belly of a great fish? Can you imagine how it stunk down there? Can you imagine that how Jonah felt being in the belly of a fish? But it said in chapter 2, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, 'And I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me.'" I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and God answered me. "Out of the valley of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." This is what God and Jonah is praying to God. And he said, "You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me, and all your billows and your waves passed over me. And then I said, 'I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me." And this I like. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Down in the belly of the whale. But God got his attention. And when God got his attention, it made no difference exactly where he was. He looked up. He started to pray, and he started to come to his senses. "And I went down to the moorings of the mountain, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up for my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." When I died, I remembered God. "And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah has come full circle. God has got his attention. Took a big fish to get his attention. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and what happened? It vomited Jonah on dry land. Jonah came to the point where he had firm footing. He wasn't in the water. He wasn't floundering around. But God put him on dry land. He was on firm footing. Now, how many of us go through the pits of hell and we come out and we're on firm footing because we've decided that we're going to do what God wants us to do, or he wanted you to do? I can't answer for you. The only person that I can answer for is Bill Wright. I have a hard enough time dealing with him. If you don't believe that, ask my wife. Now we come to where we started. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Guess what Jonah did? So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Entirely different than what you find in the first verse, isn't it? So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city. So what happened? Jonah went to Nineveh. And he got the people's attention. He told them. He said, in 40 days you're going to perish. 40 days. If God came to you today, sent a messenger to you today and told you, 40 days from now, I'm going to call you home. 40 days from now, you won't be here. You think you may look at life a little bit different? Think you may do things just a little bit different? Would you continue to do the things that you're doing? Would you be willing to talk to your neighbor? Would you be willing to talk to the people that you work with? Would you be willing to talk to the person that you're sitting beside in church this morning? 40 days in your history. 40 days. That's a month and a third. That's just about what we are in 2014. A month and a third. That's your life. And that's what Jonah told the people of Nineveh. He said, you got 40 days. So what did the people of Nineveh do? You know, they had just a little enough sense to believe Jonah. They believed Jonah. God had already told them, he said, I'm going to destroy you. I don't like you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do away with you. Because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. 40 days. A month and a third. Did they get the message? Yeah, they got the message for the time being. Because it went out of decree. The people went on a fast. They didn't eat anything. Their cattle didn't eat anything. They didn't even drink any water. They covered themselves with sackcloth and ashes. And then the king sent out a decree. And you know what God did? God spared Nineveh because the people believed Jonah. They believed Jonah. Is the message resonating? See, we don't care about the Christian aspect of life. And the reason I say that, and I'm right up on top of the heap, look at our country. If our forefathers could come back and see the state of this country, which we have allowed to happen, you think they'd be pleased? No. We've come full circle. We were talking about it in Sunday school this morning. That was a time when you had blue laws. You couldn't even go to the store on Sunday. There was a time when you could watch TV and they wouldn't show any type of person in bed with, or man and woman in bed with one another. But now, anything goes. Why is it? It's because we have allowed it. We, the people of the United States of America, we, the people, we're Christians. We're worse than Nineveh. And God has sent us a message. You got 40 days. That's what he told them. Say, you got 40 days. They believed Jonah. The problem with the American people is we don't believe nothing. We don't believe anything. Man tells you, you've got 40 days. I don't know how much time you've got. You may die, or I may die this evening. I may not even get out to church. But it really doesn't make any difference. Because I know where I'm going. But it should make a difference because I've got a daughter. You've got kids. You've got grandchildren. And those grandchildren have to live in this country. And we, as individuals, should be ashamed that we've let this country come to the point that it is. It's up to you what you want to do. That's the reason I said, I just want to talk to you. I don't want to preach to you. It's up to you. I don't have many years left. You know? 1st of June, I'll be 74 years old. I don't have a whole lot of time left. But I would think that I'd like to see my daughter and the other young people in this church, you know, have a decent life. But they're not going to have a decent life unless we are willing to do something about it. You know, Jonah went on, and he did some other stuff. And his values never got what I would think exactly right. Because God, and this is another sermon. Oh, in chapter 4, God brought a plant out to teach Jonah some things about his life. He didn't love people when you get right down to it. He didn't care about the people of Nineveh. He knew that they were enemy of his people. But God loved people and Jonah, you know, they were indifferent as far as he was concerned. So this morning, you know, the question is what do you want to do with your life? And that's what God is really asking each one of us. Do you want to make a difference, or do you just want to be status quo? If you want to be status quo, just keep doing what you're doing. If you want to make a difference, we're going to have an opportunity for you to rededicate your life. If you'd like to rededicate your life, then come up and rededicate. You don't have to talk to me. You can come kneel, pray, or you can do it at you, where you are. But do something. Even if it's wrong, do something. You should pray with me. Father, we thank you that as we look at the life of Jonah, that we can see reflections of ourselves. Things kind of look bleak, Lord. They look bleak for Jonah. But when Jonah got in the right perspective, as far as you're concerned, things begin to look up. So help us. You know each one of us. You know the hairs that are on our head. You knew us before we were even conceived in our mother's womb. You know the things that we need to look at, the things that we need to get right. And the only person that can help us get it right is you. So as we sing the hymn of invitation, we ask you that you would just pour out your spirit upon Ephesus Church this morning. And we want to tell you we love you and praise you and thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's because of him that we have life, and it's because of him that things can be rectified and set straight. And we want to tell you we thank you for this day. For it's in that precious name we pray. Amen. You know, it's good to be a layman. You know, you come in and being a layman, you're just one of the Joe Blows, you know, that are in the congregation. You can come in and you can talk and you can say more or less what's on your mind. And you don't have to listen to a lot of static, what have you. If the preacher did this, then he would he'd catch probably a little bit of static about it. But just being a layman, just being part of the congregation just like you are, and being just like you, you know, it's good that God would give you a message and you'd be able to share that message and you would be able to receive it in the love aspect of what Mike was talking about this morning. In the songs that we sang, you know, Jesus loves you. The rock of ages cleft for me. Hide myself in thee. And what have you. And then as the men's choir sang, standing on the promises. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. If you don't have the promises, you don't have anything. And this morning, our invitation hymn is going to be, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.